First Corinthians, look there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. We'll talk a little bit about preaching. Preaching. We've heard some good preaching in the last week. Good, Brother Estes. This morning, Brother Dave. Wonderful message from God's Word. And how precious and valuable the preaching of the Word of God is. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1 and 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Praise God. I was thinking about this this afternoon that I've been in church. I've been going to church since I was about 4 years old when my mother got saved. And I just was trying to estimate how many sermons, how much preaching I have heard in my life, or at least been exposed to. Some of it has been me. But how many sermons I've been exposed to. And I figured at least 10,000, at least 10,000 in my lifetime with three services a week. Actually, when my mother got saved in the church we were going to, at one time for several years, they didn't have a Wednesday night midweek service. They had Tuesday night, Thursday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, and Sunday night. Now, how would you like that schedule? And that's the way it was. It was, you know, Tuesday night was a prayer meeting service, Thursday night was a youth service, Saturday night was just church, and Sunday morning was Sunday school and church, and Sunday night was the Sunday evening evangelistic service. That's what they called it. And that's, I grew up under lots of preaching during my growing up years, formative years. I have heard sermons that were common. I've heard sermons, though, that have been literally life-altering. They changed the whole trajectory of my life. If you heard sermons like that, had such a deep impact upon you that it moved you, it changed you. It caused you to make certain levels of commitment to change. That's how precious and valuable that the preaching of the Word of God can be. It can really, really make a big change in your life. September 1973, this was Labor Day, around Labor Day, my mother said, I want you to go to this meeting. It was on the other side of the city of Tulsa. I was raised up on the west side of Tulsa. And on the opposite side, all the way across the city, you probably haven't heard Oklahoma's Indian Territory. This was Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And it's a big place now. It's a big place. Thousands of people live there now. It's a suburb of the Tulsa area. But we went to this. She wanted me to go to this meeting. It was a call to holiness meeting. And so she talked me into it, and I went. I was 18 years old, just out of high school. She said, you need to go, you need to go. And my mom had a way of giving you the nudge. So I went to this meeting, and I was there in most of it. And there were preachers there, some of them you probably have heard of. Guys like Gene Huff was there. The first time that I ever even knew he existed, I heard him preach that week. And there were other people like Keith Smith, K.A. Smith. And Paul McGeechee, Johnny Wade Sloan, A.T. Gillette, some of those men were preaching that week, at the end of that 3 days, 4 days, whatever it was, the preaching during those services and the influence of people that were there in that meeting, people that I got acquainted with during that meeting, they affected my decision to go to Neosho to Bible school. And then that was a major, major decision. That's where Marcia and I met. So many things. So many of my friends in the ministry all of these years I met while we were there and a part of that fellowship there. And so one preaching meeting literally altered my life. Sermons that I heard, preaching that I heard, made such an impact upon my life. Preaching is invaluable. It is a treasure. It is precious. And it was Vance Havner that said, "I've never heard a bad sermon," but he said, "I've had a few close calls." I've had a few close calls too. Matter of fact, I've preached quite a few close calls over the years. Never underestimate the power of preaching. Never underestimate the power of the preaching of the Word of God. Martin Luther said, "The highest form of worship is the preaching of the Word of God." Really, the entire service is always moving toward the message. The songs, every part of the service, as it goes along, prayer and testimonies and all the things that take place, it's all kind of moving us in that direction to where finally the Word of God is opened and read, and that is really the focus, or should be the focus, of the service. When there is anointed preaching of the Word of God, it is life altering. It can really set the direction of your life, and I pray that that happens many, many times for all of us. Well, what is it? Preaching is the proclaiming. It is the proclaiming, the communicating of the divine truth with the goal of bringing the hearer to a commitment or to a decision. Now, I say this often, but whenever we call folks to the front, to the altar, it's not just just the routine. It's not just the last thing we do before we go home. The purpose of it, of course, is for people. If the unsaved person is in the meeting, that he's heard the gospel and he comes to the altar and he responds to the gospel. And for all the rest of us that are believers, we come to the altar because what we've heard has spoken to our hearts and we want to go. It is the amen. It is the coming to the altar and saying, "Yes, Lord, yes, I believe it. It's the truth. Make that real to me. Make that something that you put into my heart and into my life." So the altar service is more than just prayer at the end of the service. It's a time when we respond to preaching. We respond to the preaching of the Word of God. Sometimes preaching is like a cry. It's like a heart cry. Sometimes you can tell that there's an emotion in it. There's a declaration. There's an urgency in it. There's sometimes a boldness in the preaching of the Word of God. Sometimes this urgency is a message that's ringing very clear in the hearts of the listener, and we need to take heed to it. I've been, like I said, I've heard probably 10,000 sermons in my life. I've been in services where it felt like that all the preaching was to me, and that no one else was in the building. It was just like it was just fixed for me, ordained of God for me to hear what was being said. I know it wasn't necessarily, but God knows how to sovereignly work and direct in a service and use the power of the preaching of God's word to speak specifically to your life and to your heart. Praise God for the power of the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. There are four different Greek words that are in the New Testament translated as preach or preaching or preacher. The first one is the word kerouzo, and it means to proclaim or to herald the message. The second word is euangelizo. I can't pronounce it. It means It means to evangelize or to tell the good news. The third word is the word katagela, and it means to tell thoroughly, to speak thoroughly. And the fourth word is laleo, and it means to talk or to speak. All of these words are translated as preach or preacher or preaching in the New Testament, and some 112 times in the New Testament, there's the emphasis on the value and the importance of preaching and preachers and the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a twofold responsibility in preaching. One, the preacher has responsibility. He bears a responsibility because according to the book of Ezekiel, when he declares if he neglects his responsibility and doesn't warn the wicked of the error of their way, then their blood will he require at the hand of the preacher. That's pretty serious. It's a serious thing to consider. And then another area of responsibility also is found there in Ezekiel is there's the responsibility of the hearer. That if the hearer doesn't receive or obey what they hear, then it is required of them. They are held in judgment for what they have heard. So when I think about 10,000 sermons, that's a whole lot of responsibility. I know I was a kid when some of them were preached. I was very young, and I'm sure I don't remember a lot of them. I know that I don't remember a lot of those messages, but some of them I do. Some of them I do along the way. There were things that were preached, things that were emphasized in the proclamation of the Word of God made such an impact upon me and directed my life. Thank God for the preaching of the Word of God. It can change your life. It can change the direction of your life. I read there in the text from 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The preaching of the Word of God, the preaching of the cross, the world, they don't have the ability to understand or to comprehend it, but it is spiritually understood, spiritually discerned. The things of the Spirit are understood by a person that is reaching out and is hungering to know God. If a person wants to know God, they can hear from God. They can hear the voice of the Lord, and God will speak to them. And many times, it's through the preaching of the Word of God. God is able to speak. It is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. The Apostle Paul, he could have claimed a lot of titles, a lot of training, a lot of education. He could have used those titles, but in speaking to Timothy, he said, I am ordained a preacher. I'm ordained a preacher. That's 1 Timothy 2 and 7, whenever he was talking to that young man that he was a spiritual father to him, who too was getting ready to become a preacher of the Word of God. Amen. And he told Timothy, preach the word, be instant, in season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He instructed young Timothy to be a preacher of the Word of God, to declare God's Word. Timothy was timid, backward, and so much so that in two places there, it reminds us that he would literally get sick to his stomach over the fact that he was so backward and timid to step up and do what he was called to do, to preach the gospel. And Paul said, what you need is you need a little wine for your stomach's sake that will help you, that will calm your stomach so that you can do what you need to do. He wasn't telling him to get drunk or to drink alcoholic beverages. He was telling him to drink a little bit of the fruit of the vine. And I've told this before, how that one of the times that I was in Romania, they kept bringing out everywhere we went, you just ate what was put before you. They kept bringing out these big platters of potatoes, mashed potatoes. They didn't have a whole lot of meat, but they had a little bit of pork and a whole lot of pork broth. And they would pour the fat of that pork on top of those potatoes, and that's what we ate. The first time I ate it, I thought, oh, this is good. This is meat and potatoes. This is good. The next time I ate it, I thought, well, this is not quite as good as it was the first time. But after I ate it several times, I went to sit down at the table, and I was nauseated. I was sick to my stomach. And I told one of the brothers, he was actually a doctor, Brother Dr. Quadriano. Did y'all ever meet him, Marty? And he came to me. I said, I can't eat this. I'm not feeling well. I feel sick to my stomach. And he said, just one moment. He went into the other room and he brought a little bowl of black cherries. And he had crushed up those black cherries. And he said, sip on the juice of this black cherry. And I did. I sipped on it and drank that juice. And it completely took care of my nausea. It was a little wine for my stomach's sake, is what it was. And it took care of the problem. And so Paul told Timothy, you're timid, you're backward, but you're called to preach the word. Preach the word. And so when you get backward and shy and timid and get sick to your stomach, just take a little bit of that and you'll be fine. Go right on. He was his spiritual father who is helping him to face up to his nerves and his timidity. And of course, what he really needed was just the anointing of the Holy Ghost to help him in those challenging times. Amen. So Timothy was a preacher. Paul was a preacher. Jesus was a preacher of the Word of God. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Wasn't just an ark builder. He was known as a preacher of righteousness. The prophets were all preachers who would plea and had an urgency in their voice. Sometimes a rebuke in their voice, but they were preaching the truth. John the Baptist came preaching into the wilderness. On and on, I can give you many, many references to preachers. Amen. Historically, preaching has affected nations. It has literally changed nations. It's pretty powerful, isn't it? When you think about that, changed nations. Historically, the French Revolution was stopped by preachers. Guys like John and Charles Wesley literally are credited with changing the course of England's history because what they did held back the French Revolution, stopped the invasion, kept them from coming in because there was a revival in the Holy Club among the John and Charles Wesley and all of those that were followers of them that were preachers. Wesley would preach in his lifetime. He preached some 240 or traveled some 240,000 miles on horseback, and everywhere that he went, he came to a preaching point and he would preach. He wasn't usually in a church. He was in cemeteries. He was in yards. He was on courthouse steps. He was wherever he could find an audience, and they would gather by the thousands to hear him preach the word of the Lord. And it changed England. Literally changed England. Praise God. John Knox, his preaching and his prayers were so powerful that Mary, Queen of Scots, feared his preaching and his prayer more than all the armies of England. She was scared to death of John Knox because of his prayers and his preaching. Preaching changes the whole course of a nation. It can. All we saw this morning when Brother Dave put that illustration up of preachers who affected another preacher. And actually, the first one was a Sunday school teacher. The others were evangelists, you know, going down the line and all the way down to Mordecai Ham, who was the man who preached when Billy Graham was just like 15 years old, I think, 14, 15 years old. And Billy Graham responded to that call then to be saved and then to preach the gospel. I don't know about you, but a couple of weeks, whenever this whole Billy Graham death took place, and what little that I did see, I saw clips of the funeral. I saw a lot of it, and I heard all of these various children of his who said so much about the gospel. Every one of them used it as they knew that millions of people around the world were watching. They each one gave used it as an occasion to do what their father had done, and is that preach the gospel of Jesus. Praise God. And that was, you know, and you know, it was a very moving thing to me when I saw his body moved into the Capitol building, and I realized that really the only thing that he had done with his life is preach the gospel. That's really all he had done. All the years of his life. And he said, I never dreamed that I would be preaching to masses of people. He thought he was just going to be preaching to smaller groups. And in his first few years of his ministry, he preached revivals in church meetings and smaller meetings. But suddenly something happened. Started out in California and then where his meetings were being held. And he proclaimed the gospel. And I was, as when this was all going on, I thought, you know, I thought I used to have a book I picked up in a bookstore of Billy Graham's sermons. And so I got to searching through my books and I found it. And it was a book of his sermons from the 60s when he preached at Madison Square Garden. And that meeting went on for a week. It was supposed to be 2 weeks, but it went on for 4 months. 4 months. And thousands, and the Madison Square Garden was filled night after night after night after night after night. It was something supernatural that was happening. The preaching of the gospel was having an impact upon a lot of people in this nation. And then around the world, they say he preached to more people in person than anyone has ever lived. It's pretty incredible. And there he is in the being honored by the president and the leaders of Congress, and he's there, and the only claim that he had was he was a preacher. That was it. As a matter of fact, whenever they took him and buried him, they had asked him, what do you want put on the stone? And he said, I just want preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's what the stone says. Billy Graham, preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That reminded me of Vance Havner, another old preacher that I've read after for many years, been gone a long time. Vance Havner, they asked him what he wanted on his gravestone, and he said, just put on there, just a preacher. Just a preacher. And that is what is on his gravestone. Well, let me tell you, those are people that made a huge impact upon the lives of people. Thousands and thousands of people through the ministry of the preaching of the Word of God. God can use preaching. He has always used preaching. It has been his method to reach the world, to declare the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As I said, Paul was a preacher, and he recognized he couldn't get out of it. He couldn't back out of it. He would like to have, maybe, I don't know, but he couldn't. He said, necessity is laid upon me. I have this burden, this responsibility, this calling that's upon me. I cannot shirk it. I can't turn away from it. Necessity is laid upon me. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. That was the Apostle Paul. He knew it was his calling. It was his life purpose. And that's what God had called him and equipped him to do. Thank God he answered the call. Thank God for every preacher that's answered the call. They've impacted my life. Your lives have been impacted by men and women of God who have stood and declared the truth of God's word. Amen. Praise God. Really don't know how or what to call this message tonight except just maybe thank God for preachers. Thank God for preachers. And I don't mean to be, you know, talking about myself here. I'm not at all. I'm talking about the fact that preachers have so impacted my life. So worked by the declaration of the truth of God's word. Romans chapter 1 and verse 15. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. This is Paul before he went to Rome. He knew what he was going to face at Rome. He knew that in Rome it was likely going to be the end of his life, and it was. He knew he was facing that Roman Empire and Nero, and that's where he lost his life, but he was set for the defense of the gospel. He was ready to go there and to fulfill the purpose of God and the call of God. And there he was, a preacher in Rome. Amen. Glory to God. Do you know that 90%, this is statistics that I've read, and I would assume that they're correct. Something like 90% of the preachers in the world are in the United States of America. That leaves 90, and the U.S. represents about 4% of the population of the world, and 90% of the preachers are in America. The rest of the preachers, 96% of the preachers around the world have 96% of the rest of the population of the world. If that statistic is even close to correct, it is very, very sobering to think that we have so much and we are so privileged to hear the word of the Lord. It's everywhere. I listen, not every week, but most weeks. I don't know how many, but I listen to several sermons. I listen to several preachers every week. Tune in, listen to it. It's so readily available now. When you go on their websites, you can listen to various preachers across the country, around the world. You can listen to the ministry of the Word of God. You know, preachers need to be preached to also. Amen. That's why I enjoy so much this past week, all of this preaching of the Word of God. You know, the preacher, he has to be in tune with God. He has to be listening to the voice of the Lord. And I would like to tell you that every time I come up here, I've got it. And I know I've got it and listen because I've heard from heaven. But I have to be honest with you, it's not that way every time. Sometimes I'm struggling. Sometimes I really don't know for sure if I have the word of God, the word from the Lord. But there are times that I hear from God. I know I'm on track. I know I'm following in the will of God. And I know that he is speaking to my heart and he has given me the message that needs to be declared. Thank God that we can hear his word. And it's so important for the preacher to bear his responsibility and to be in tune with God. Now, the message is much more important than the messenger. The messenger needs to be hidden as much as possible. And that's not always possible, but he needs to be. It needs to be that the message is so strong and so loud and powerful and such an impact that we are hidden behind the message. When Jonah was called to go to Nineveh and to preach to that wicked city, he didn't want to go. He hated the Ninevites. They were Assyrians, and he hated them. He was prejudiced against them. He wanted them all to be consumed and go to hell. That's what Jonah wanted. But God called Jonah to go and to preach to the Ninevites. Finally, you know, the famous story of him spending 3 days and nights in the bottom of the ocean in the belly of that fish. Finally, he spit out on dry ground, and he's moving right in the direction he's supposed to be going now. He's a scary-looking guy now. He's all bleached out from being inside of that fish for 3 days. He looks awful. He looks scary. And when he gets to the edge of the city, he has an 8-word sermon. That's all it is. 8 words is all that he preached. Here's his sermon. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. The Bible says he went from one end of the city and he crisscrossed to the other side of the city. And that was his sermon. And he was reluctant because, you know, later on, he grieved over the fact that they repented. So we know that he was reluctant and he didn't really want to do it. He wasn't a very good messenger. But God had sent him with that message. And it was an 8-word sermon. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. An 8-word sermon, and suddenly the king rent his clothes and commanded that the entire city be called to a fast. He rents his clothes, all of his kingdom then. And even the animals are fasting. The entire, and all he did was preach an 8-word sermon. And it changed the whole direction of what was going on in there. The entire city fell before God and repented of their evil doings. See, the message is really more important than the messenger.
The message is what is really important. And even in a reluctant guy like Jonah, who preached not even wanting them to repent, but when he spoke what God told him to speak, God had spoken to him and said, go and preach the preaching that I bid thee. Here's the sermon, Jonah. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And he marches across the width and the length of that city, and he's declaring that simple little message, and the entire city repented. I tell you, preaching is powerful. Amen. Preaching is powerful. Amen. Romans 10 and 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Amen. Praise God. Annually, we have this missionary conference to emphasize the fact that we are senders also. We are senders. We're sending people. We're being used of the Lord to send people to various places around the world to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Year before last, when we went to Freetown, Sierra Leone, I told Brother Bakri, since we're going to be working all day long trying to get this radio station up on the air, just please don't schedule. I know how these guys do. I said, please don't schedule us for church every night. We don't have time and we're going to be wore out. Well, he did exactly what I asked him not to do, and that was he scheduled meetings every night. And we were wore out and sweaty, but we preached. Royce Roy and myself took turns every night, every night, every night. And I think Brother Bakri just knows that people, they need to hear the Word of God. They need the preaching of the Word of God. And as weak and feeble as we were trying to do it, I know that God uses the foolishness of preaching. Praise God. Every one of you here tonight, I know you can probably look back to sermons that were preached that affected your life. Maybe the day that you got saved. Maybe the day that God dealt with you about maybe your ministry or your calling. Maybe the day that the Lord dealt with you about some particulars in your life, areas that he wanted you to dedicate to the Lord. You can look back to messages preached from the pulpit, some here and some other places possibly, and messages that have been preached can change your life. Thank God for the preacher. Thank God for the altar, as I said, which is the amen to the sermon. It is the time that we respond and say, yes, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to me through the power of your word. You know, the preaching of the gospel is the only remedy for the world. That's the thing that I, again, about the Grahams that I appreciated so much, is that it didn't make any difference where they were at. They knew that there were going to be millions of people from all different backgrounds that were going to be viewing the funeral and viewing all those different interviews. Even in the interviews with the media, they would say things like, my father was just about the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what he would do. He would preach the gospel and tell people that they need to repent of their sins and put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. And it was like they were giving the plan of salvation every time someone stuck a microphone in their face. Praise God. Amen. An opportunity to declare. It is the only remedy for the sinful condition of this world. That's why that we know that this is an exclusive message, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation, and no other way, no other means, no other man, no one else can provide hope for salvation. To all the millions and even billions of Muslims and Hindus in the Middle East and then other many other different form, you know, religions of the world, I don't believe in universalism. I don't believe in it. Universalism says, well, everybody's going to get to heaven eventually. Doesn't matter, just as long as you have faith. Everybody's not going to heaven. It's only through Jesus. It's only through the gospel of Jesus Christ. That means that Mormons, I know it's called the Church of Latter-day Saints, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but read their doctrinal statement. They're not a church. They don't proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mormons can be saved, but if they're saved, they're going to come out of Mormonism. Amen. Oh, that seems so narrow. That's so narrow. It is narrow. It's exactly what the Bible says. It is a narrow, narrow way. Mormons, what about Catholics? Catholics can be saved. They can get saved. But they're going to come out of that, you know, going to the priest and going through all that ritual and all of that. They're going to come out of that. They're going to leave that. Amen? Oh, that's so narrow. It is narrow, but it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I know the Lord can save a person wherever they are and whatever they're doing. He can save them, but he's going to lead them into the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Thank the Lord for the gospel and the power of the preaching of the Word of God that can have such an impact upon our life. Let's read this text one more time from 1 Corinthians 1 and 17. For Christ sent me not to be baptized. We don't believe in baptismal regeneration. We don't believe that you're saved only if you're baptized in water and not until. We don't believe that. Amen. Water baptism is biblical and it's the right pattern to follow, but you're not saved just because you've been dunked in water. You're saved through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Paul could have used wisdom of words because of all of his training, of all of his intellectual abilities. He could have, but he chose not to. Amen. Preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Praise God. I was just a little kid, and it was a lady, actually, it was preaching that night. Hope that don't shake up some of your doctrinal feelings. This was a lady preaching the night. The first time that I was a little bitty guy that I responded to the gospel. I was very young. And a lady preached and I responded. Praise God. Hallelujah. The preaching of the gospel is powerful. Thank God for it. Thank God for it. Let's stand, everybody. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Hallelujah, hallelujah.